and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is headlining the G20 summit in India and urging nations to step up in the fight against climate change.
The climate crisis is worsening dramatically, but the collective response is lacking in ambition, credibility, and urgency.
Climate change is just one of the issues being discussed at the summit.
The president and prime minister reasserting that the U.S. and India have a lot to work on in terms of military, educational, technological agreements. Points out, for example, the Indian military planning to buy some more hardware from the United States, a bunch of university agreements that are now in place, and even the United States supporting India's call for it to earn a permanent seat on the U.N. Security Council.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe attends the summit. The ongoing heat wave in Texas is putting the state's power grid to the test. More from CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Across Dallas-Fort Worth, businesses are boiling as they try to serve customers in the triple-digit temp, including the Ivy Tavern, which uses fans and water misters to keep its patio space cool.
Is just something as simple as having the air moving, can that make a difference in the amount of people who will come knowing you have fans?
Oh, most definitely. If the fans aren't on and people are out here, they will complain.
In Jacksonville, Florida, a memorial service was held today for one of the victims of a racially motivated shooting.
I'm Peter King. It's been nearly 2 weeks since the shootings at a Dollar General store in a predominantly black neighborhood. The Reverend Al Sharpton's eulogy for Angela Carr focused on Florida gun laws that allowed the shooter to buy weapons legally. Sharpton addressing Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
You're not responsible for haters. But you're responsible if you help to arm haters.
The gunman's assault weapon had a swastika on it, and while he killed himself, he also left behind a trail of writing that made it clear he hated black people. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
A special grand jury report has been released in the Georgia election interference case. It recommended 39 people be charged, including South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. Ultimately, he was not charged, and he maintains he did nothing wrong.
I never suggested anybody set aside the election. I never said go find votes. I never said anything other than trying to find out how the mail-in balloting system worked. And I was really confused, and I still am, quite frankly.
Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is running for re-election in 2024. We asked political analyst Larry Sabato for his take.
It's good for the Democratic Party. It's good for the House Democratic Caucus. She could add a lot without an official position.
Pelosi is 83. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Every piece of land has a story. For the Nelsons, it's cruising around their Montana ranch on a John Deere Gator XUV 835R. With 3,000 acres, there's plenty of work to do.
We're not afraid to jump in and help each other out.
That's how they've kept their ranch going for five generations.
It's all about efficiency.
Like teaching visitors to fly fish.
The whole joy with fly fishing is matching the hatch.
Run with us on a Gator XUV 835R and start telling your story. Learn more at johndeere.com/radio.
With Labor Day savings at the Home Depot, we'll get your kitchen clicking. With top brand appliances, like a new LG refrigerator capable of making four different types of ice. Or an LG oven with built-in air fryer for healthier, crispier options. Plus, with convenient shopping in-store and online, your innovative new appliances are also just a click away. Final days to get up to $700 off select appliances, plus an extra $1,000 off LG kitchen appliances only at the Home Depot. Pricing valid 8/24 through 9/13, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Wisconsin decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
The Republicans are on the wrong side of policy, on the wrong side of the people.
Wrong side of history.
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, September 11th. In Wood County, the Public Safety Committee will meet at 9 a.m. The Wisconsin Rapids Parks and Recreation Commission meeting is at 4 p.m. The WRPS Board of Education meeting will take place at 6. The Village of Buren will hold their regular board meeting at 6:30. The City of Nakusa Board of Appeals will meet at 3:30 and the Planning Commission at 4. The Village of Port Edwards Police and Fire Commission will meet at 5. In Portage County, the Highway Committee will meet at 3:30 and the Finance Committee at 4:30. They will have a joint meeting at 4. The Stevens Point Board of Water and Sewerage Commissioners will meet at noon, the Airport Commission at 12:30, the Board of Public Works at 6:05, and the Finance Committee at 6:15. The Village of Whiting Plan Commission will meet at 6. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
47 tonight under clear skies, east winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow, high of 78. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night, lows around 56. Overcast skies. Temperatures below average Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 60s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 66.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this September 8th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Bailoff, behind the mic. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our good friend, Connie Tomsky-Fayetteville, FRM president. We'll talk a little bit about FRM Fest and looking forward to getting into that. Right now, our wonderful, great friend, Madison Rafter, executive director of the Southwood County Maine Society, joining us right now. Madison, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It has been so long since we had a chance to talk. We were just hanging out yesterday as Madison joins us every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour with our pet of the week. Big thank you to you for that. We appreciate it and appreciate what you do in this community, Madison. I want to thank you and your team right out the gate for the impact that you have on this community and the work that you guys do. If you didn't care about animals, you're out there listening, you don't care about animals, don't have any interest in the Humane Society or anything like that, it affects you still. Even you, it affects. The economic impact, what it does on cities and communities, is it only a search engine away from seeing the stats that that can do. Communities that don't have shelters or have poorly run shelters, to be honest, their taxes and the different things that they're, you know, a property value, all of these things add up. They're all connected. Here in this area, we are very proud and very lucky to have a very well-run Humane Society. And just a big thank you for that from the community. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
We got a couple events that we can show our appreciation at coming up this month. It's a busy month for you guys.
It is busy.
It kicks off this week and tomorrow from 10 to 3 over at the Southwood County Park Red Sands Beach Enclosed Stone Shelter with Rockin' the Shelter.
Yeah.
For those that haven't heard yet about this, Madison, let's tell people what it is.
Yeah, so we have some volunteers of ours that wanted to host a fundraiser for us. They've been a big support for us for years. They have been out at the shelter. Our volunteers are the ones who do our lovely gardens that we have in front of the building and have made our gardens look phenomenal. With that, these volunteers wanted to host an event, and they wanted to get it involved in the community so kids can be involved. Everybody can kind of come to this because we do have these events, but not all of our events have it where all age groups can come to. Mm-hmm. And this is more particularly on the kids, where it's bring the kids, get the kids out, have fun, that kind of thing. Our volunteers have done just a phenomenal job with setting up this entire event. They are doing raffle baskets, there are kid games, there is face painting, they are doing just crafts and everything. And so far, it's just going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal event.
All of that is great. I agree with all of that. I feel like you might have missed one of the headlines, though. Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yes.
Clifford the Big Red Dog is going to be there. That's awesome.
We have our mascot. He volunteers and comes to all of our events, and he has just been a hit with all of the kids. And he has different costumes and everything that he can bring along, but Clifford has just been a big hit, and Clifford's one we're just going to continue to bring along.
Very smart. Very smart, Boo. I like the idea of having as many of these events as we can for our Humane Society. I think it is really cool that a volunteer came up with this and got this going.
Yep.
I hope that's inspiring to people out there to do further things like this, whether it's with our Humane Society or other nonprofits, that you have that kind of power in you, that you can make these kind of things happen. I imagine it starts with a simple idea, and then look where we are, where tomorrow it's happening.
Yep, and again, this is the second year that they've done it. The first year was an absolute blast. They did a fantastic job. I want to say they raised a little over $3,000, if I remember correctly.
That's nice.
I could be wrong on that, but they did great with it. They did get rained out that day, so of course they had to scurry and get a bunch of tents that day, but that's why they have it at the Red Sands Beach this year in the enclosed area, just because if it does decide to rain tomorrow, then they are good and they don't have to worry about scrambling for tents.
I'm a weather nerd, but I've been even more so in the last couple of days because tomorrow is such a big day in this area.
Yep.
Beautiful tomorrow. It's supposed to be beautiful. That's nice.
That's what we've been keeping our fingers crossed
with. Everybody cross your fingers out there. Everybody knock on wood, cross your fingers, whatever you got to do.
So we're excited for it. It's going to be a great event. We will try to bring a shelter dog out and come hang out for the day. So we're very excited for it, and it'll be a good event.
When it comes to something like this, Madison, what is the impact on the Humane Society it can have?
Yeah, so events like this, it gets our name out in the community. Mm-hmm. It's people who have such a big passion for the shelter and such a love for the shelter are wanting to do something for us because we do so much for the community. Mm-hmm. When it comes to our stray animals and our surrenders and everything else that we handle, they have such a passion that they're like, oh my goodness, we need to do something for them. And that just kind of shows our community that we do have people that really care, and can we get more people that want to do more for the shelter?
We'll get more into this a little bit later if we have more enough time, but I know just volunteering and working at shelters a little bit myself, nowhere in the position that you've been in or anything, but I know how much it meant when people would come in and say thank you, or you know, some of the stories we would hear at the shelter that I worked at in Santa Barbara, there were some people that would volunteer that had dogs that they had adopted from there, and they would tell me stories about like this was like the third dog they adopted or something, and they grew up with their child or something. Like the stories, the millions and millions of stories that come out of shelters around the country, they're beautiful, they're wonderful stories, and they don't happen without people like yourself running these things. Mm-hmm. How good does it feel to see an event like this and see not only volunteers coming up with it, but the way the community responds, the support, those long days at the shelter? I imagine these are the things that help with those long days.
Yes, in the shelter environment, it definitely is a very mentally tolling job. We have to deal with a lot of compassion fatigue and things like that, because we do have to see the animals that come in that are severely malnourished or very injured or whatever the situation may be. Those are the days that really, really are hard on us. They're very mentally tolling. But when we have events like this, the community just wants to be able to be here and support us so that they make those hard days even better. To us, that's the world. It's one of those things when we get those adoption updates, when we get that community support, the people that come out, like when we have a low need of kitten food and or cat litter, and people will put out a post and we have them piling in the door that day. Just that community support just makes it worth it to know that what we are doing is worth it. Mm-hmm. And what we are doing continues to drive us as shelter workers, because we do have to deal with the hard stuff. But seeing that support is just fantastic. And it really is something that kind of helps balance that, I guess, in between of emotions.
Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason why I bombard Madison with squash videos and stuff all every once in a while and everything. It's not just because I love showing the guy off. It's not that at all. I have hyper empathy. I was diagnosed with that as a kid, and I had to be very aware of that growing up. And working in shelters, I don't think there's many times where I experienced it more than in those. I know for a fact, because I've been in shelters, I couldn't do the job you do. Like there's a lot of things I can do in this world. That is not one of them. I have such an admiration and respect for yourself and your team over there that do with the, I think a term that I hope people caught, the compassion fatigue. That is a true thing. And it's something that can really take a toll. All of the support, that's what helps that. There's not a lot of cures for something like that. That is one of the things that is a huge Band-Aid on something like that.
It's also something, too, we like to send our staff to these conferences that do bring in speakers to talk about that compassion fatigue, right, because it is something that when you're in this shelter world and you go, it's one of those things that sometimes you just like, you need to have somebody else come from an outside source and kind of be like, hey, yeah, do you need to take a break? Mm-hmm. Is this something that you need to deal with? And again, we deal with it, but again, sometimes it is really hard too.
Yeah. I want to thank the sponsors, all the sponsors that got behind this and that are a part of this event. Again, Rockin' the Shelter is coming up. It is tomorrow from 10 to 3 over at Southwood County Park, Red Sands Beach. Be there. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good time. We'll meet you down there, everybody. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Very excited.
Wanted to get into this too with you. The 5K9 walk run coming up. That is Saturday, September 23rd, over at the Southwood County Red Sands Shelter House.
Yep.
It's going to be over there. Registration starts at 8. The race itself starts at 9. Let's tell people about this one.
Yeah, so our 5K9 walk run, we in past used to have it in May. We did kind of push it off this year into fall just because it was something that there was so much going on. We pushed back our soup and snow sculpture and we're like, you know what, let's change it up a little bit this year. See how that goes. So we're really excited excited for this event. You can walk it, you can run it, you can just jog it if you prefer. Mm-hmm. It is what you prefer. You do not have to be a speed racer. You do not have to be as slow as a turtle. It is completely up to what you would like to do. Bring your pets along. We have people in pest who have brought in their cats and strollers. But anyway, our walk run is just a fantastic event. We have raffle baskets, we have our t-shirts, people can race, and there's prizes for that. And it's just overall a really great community event to just get out, get active, and just hang out for the day.
Yeah. Real quickly, as a side note, I have to tell the audience, Madison has no notes. She does all this right at the top of your head. I could not do the job you do. There are going to be pledge prizes?
Yes.
That sounds cool.
Pledge prizes. So we have it where you can raise money for sponsorships in a sort. So you go out and raise money, and you are able to get prizes for this. Mm-hmm. So once you reach $100, you get a free registration. Or is it $25? I could be wrong. I'm messing up there. I don't know 100% what the categories are. I know there's a free registration for the walk run. I know that there is a free t-shirt involved. I know there's a free sweatshirt. And then the top tier prize is a 2-bedroom, 2-bath at the Kalahari for one night. Ooh. And that is for the top tier pledge. So if you raise the most money for the shelter in pledges, you can bring it the day of the event. You can drop it off the shelter. But if you have the most, you are able to win a 2-bedroom, 2-bath at the Kalahari for one night.
That sounds that's a good enough reason right there, let alone all the good you can do by being a part of this for our Humane Society. That's fun. I'm going to have some of your guys' merch down there for sale. Want to make sure to mention that anytime you can advertise the Humane Society when you're walking around town or wherever you're taking these shirts. I have to say, it's one of my favorite things about supporting nonprofits is the shirts, because for one, I work in radio and this is how we get clothed. but much more importantly, in this community, I love when I'm walking around like the shirt you gave me.
Yep.
I'm bopping around in it and it never fails. I've worn it like 4 times, and every time somebody will point and say, "Hey, Humane Society," or something. You find like-minded people. You find people that are on the same page and in on this. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of a fun kinship.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, since working at the Humane Society, I feel like the rest of my wardrobe of clothes I don't touch. Like, they sit in my closet because all I do is wear shelter clothes at this point where I'm just like, we'll go out to dinner. And I'm like, I don't want anything else. I'm just putting on a shelter shirt. And that's just how it goes.
It works. It really does, too. Really does bring attention and awareness to the shelter, though, as well. They're cool shirts, they're great designs, and they're very comfortable. But just as most importantly of all of that, the attention that you're able to bring. Not everybody can always put in money or buy, you know, supplies or anything for the shelter, but all of us can wear a t-shirt.
Yep.
All of us can be a billboard, you know. Yep. It's another way of bringing attention and awareness to the good work that you guys are doing.
Yep. I mean, t-shirts are the way. It's advertising in a sort. It's getting out there. People see t-shirts. I mean, I'm sitting in the line at the grocery store and I'm reading people's t-shirts because, again, it is free advertising in a sort.
With this walk run coming up, do people need to register for this?
Yeah. So with that, we did have pre-registrations for a t-shirt. The t-shirt pre-registration deadline did end already. But with that, you can still register online at active.com. Otherwise, you can stop by the shelter and register. We also will have registrations the day of, if you would like, as well. So if it's something that you want to wait till the day of because you're not sure on weather or you're not sure if you can make that date, show up the day of and we can register you.
Again, registration at 8. The race itself will start at 9. And rain or shine, this is going on.
Oh, yes. We've done it in the rain. We've done it in the sunshine. But we're hoping that it'll be a really nice day.
And fingers crossed, again, just like we were doing for this weekend and everything. Hopefully it is a great one, especially because an event like this, to show how important it is, other radio stations are sponsoring this, and we're still talking about it on our station. That shows how much we love you guys. It shows how much we're back. I'm joking, but it does give me a chance to mention all the sponsors. A lot of sponsors that are part of this. Big thank you to all of them, putting back into our community, putting back into our Humane Society.
We appreciate our sponsors. They've done a great job for us, and we appreciate them.
Both of these events are wonderful. They're unique and fun. A little different in the beginnings of them, where one of them starts with a volunteer, another one kind of a staple of the Humane Society. But it does get me thinking, if there's people out there listening, whether you are a business owner and you want to sponsor with the Humane Society, or you're just a fan of animals, a fan of the Humane Society, is this something that, like, me and Seth come up with an idea?
Yep.
We come to you with it, and maybe something can happen.
Yeah, pretty much. If it's something that you have an event that you want to host, or you want to be in a sponsor for an event, the sponsors, we do have a form on our website that you can fill out if you are interested in being a sponsor. So there is a form online that if, hey, you know what, I really want to sponsor an event, there's a form that you can go and fill out online. But if it's something that you want to host an event for us, all you have to do is come sit down. You can give me a call, shoot me an email, be like, hey, I would really like to do this. We can sit down, have a conversation. The only thing is, it would just have to be an outside fundraiser. There's not any funding that we are able to host into it. But if it's something that you want to host on your own, you are more than welcome to. We are more than willing to support it. We are more than willing to advertise for it. You just need to have a conversation with me, and we can get that rolling.
I am going to be emailing you later today. My fur brother Sam and I have a band we started, Penguins and Planes, and we've been trying to find a good avenue to perform at. So I'll be messaging you a little later. There's better ideas. There's much better things that you can do. When these events come up, we love talking about them. We love celebrating them and celebrating our shelter. We certainly appreciate every Thursday you joining us with our Pet of the Week. All of this is great to be able to bring attention to not only the shelter, but of course these animals and the work that you guys do with these animals. But all that being said, there's certain things that even I or many of our listeners wouldn't know. From your perspective, from your point of view, can we speak to how important these events are for the shelter? How much of an impact they have?
Yeah, definitely. With the shelter, we service about 1,000, if not more, animals a year. And that's in between surrenders, that's in between strays, whether those strays stay with us or they get picked up. We have to handle the dangerous dogs with the county. So if we are called by the court and they ask us to hold an animal, we have to hold those dangerous dogs while they are pending court. We have to hold police impoundments. We handle hoarding cases, so when we get called out for cases, we have to go pick up those animals. So there's a lot that we handle that a lot of the community doesn't necessarily know. Some of them do, but they don't necessarily know all of it. We have to assist when it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, or 2, 3 in the morning when a dog's hit by a car and we don't have an owner. We have to go pick up those animals and run them up to Paw Health until we find owners. So we do our due diligence, especially when it comes down to strays, surrenders, anything like that, that we're trying to work with our community for the best possible way for these animals as well as the people. Because when it comes down, I'm sorry, if my dog got hit by a car at 3 o'clock in the morning and I didn't know, but found out it was picked up by the Humane Society and taken to the vet clinic and they assisted with the aspect of making sure that my animal was okay, I'd love that. And that'd be just something that was really beneficial to me, that we're able to offer these to our community to assist with these situations. While we don't have a vet on staff, we can't necessarily do all of the vaccines or do spay and neuter for the general public, we still have the ability to do other things. It's something that we're looking into, but again, not something we can do right now.
All incredibly insightful points. I'm positive that you just got some people some information that they did not have beforehand. And I'm really glad that you touched on something I wanted to get into, with how the Humane Society assists other organizations in this area, especially our police departments. And we have talked for years about how much is put on our police force and how many things that they that really aren't their job, but is on their plate. Any assistance they can have, I think, is quite important and quite noteworthy. And to think of this, I don't think a lot of people connect the Humane Society with our police departments, but you mentioned the hit dog and these kind of situations, runways. This is something where, I mean, I know darn sure that our police departments are awfully thankful for our Humane Societies. While many of them are great at what they, all of them are good at what they do, of course, not all of them are animal knowledge and know what to do in these situations. This is where you guys come in so key to those situations. And I don't even feel like we're scratching the surface almost, because there's so many things that that happen organically, that necessarily there isn't a number for, you know, this is a this situation or whatever. There's just stuff that happens that you can't really predict at shelters. And that's just in the general, we're not even getting into the day and day. You touched on the fatigue, the mental fatigue that can be with that, but certainly the the importance for these animals to be treating humanely. That is important. That's not just important with the food chain or our community or anything. That's important on a social level. That's important on a level going forward here as a society. We for a long time, there are certain groups of people, we're talking about abused kids or abused women or animals or any of these things that were not brought the attention that they needed for decades. We're finally making this right. We're finally starting to get closer to it. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer to it. Bringing attention to these kind of things with our shelters is one of the ways we do that.
I mean, again, like going back to the police department aspect of it, they do so much for our community. And when it does come down to animals, we get lots of calls from them because they're not necessarily handled in the aspect of how to handle them. They don't want to get bit. And I don't blame them, especially when it's an unfamiliar animal and they don't know how they're going to react. So we do get called out a lot with our police department. And it's something that we appreciate them reaching out because, again, we don't want that animal to have to bite them either. We would rather be called out to assist with a situation like that. But they call us constantly for different questions. And they're like, hey, how do we go about this? And how do we do this? And our humane officers as well, we work with them very closely as well. And they've been phenomenal with their jobs and how they do it. So it's something that we appreciate the aspect that we're able to have a good relationship with them to continue to keep that going and to continue to be a service to our community.
And similar to how we thank these sponsors for putting their name and their time and energy and money into these events. When it comes to our police departments and different organizations in this area, one of the things that I've very, it makes my heart smile anytime I think about it. When I met the board at the Family Center, and I'm emceeing the Men in the Kitchen event a couple of years ago, and I really hadn't been in many Family Center events. I walk in, and the first person I see is Mayor Blazer, and then I see Andy Francis, head of the Rafters, and I see Sheriff Becker, and I see Captain Melvin from the police department and stuff, and all these people on the same page. All these people believing that domestic violence shouldn't be happening in our community, and we're all on the same page, and these same faces I see with the shelter, with the Humane Society events. This like-mindedness, again, going back to that kinship of, oh, you get it. You get it. Going forward here, we're all going to be on the same page. We're going to do good in our community with this and do right by our humane societies and our animals and our community. I don't believe in a whole lot of things when it comes to stuff that you can't put into science or math or anything like that. It's the way my brain works. But I do believe in karma. And what you put into this world, you get out. And it's no different with an animal or a human being.
Nope, I 100% agree. I mean, again, looking at our animals that we have, it's something that we have to be the ones to be there for them as well. They don't have a voice either, so I agree. It's something that, yes, what you put in is what you get out, but at least on our standpoint with the shelter, we have those animals that we have to be their voice as well. So they don't have the ability to speak like people do in our community, so how can we be their voice to also be their voice for the community?
The website that you guys have up is just beautiful. It is running so good. We want to encourage people to check out that website, swchs.com, in part because it's great and it looks really good. You guys did a nice job with this, but also this is another way to find out about things going on over there, to be able to donate at the Humane Society, maybe even finding some merch, stuff like that. And you can check out animals on there. You can even see our Pet of the Week on there.
Yep, all of our animals are on there. We have it where we have some bonded pairs on there. We have our small animal. We have a bunny right now. But all of our animals get listed on our website. They're also available on our Facebook. We like to post on there and try to highlight them a little bit more there too. But you're more than welcome to check out our website. It's been 2 years in progress of trying to get that up to date, and we're very happy with how it looks.
Wanted to make sure to mention as well that when you go there, you can find a couple of things. If you have a missing animal, it's not a bad place to go to. There's also Lost Dogs of Wisconsin, I think, is a good Facebook group that does good work there. But reporting animal cruelty, I think that I'm not sure if that's a new link on your website, but I noticed that when the new one kind of came about, and I'm really impressed with that. I think that's, it's not easy to put those kind of things on there, but so vital, so important too.
Yeah, it was on our website previously, but it was kind of hidden. And with a lot of the calls that we do get, a lot of people like don't want to do it or they want to do it anonymously. They don't want to be involved in it because they don't want to report it, but they want to report it because it's something that frustrates them. So we did make a tab on our website so that it is something that's informational for the general public, that if you don't feel comfortable calling and wanting to talk to somebody about it, here are your steps that you can take if it's something that you're seeing something and you're not okay with this. Is this something that we can go forward with and potentially get a call over to the police department to get in check with the humane officers? So it's something that we have on the website that hey, you know what? I'm not sure I want to call and ask any questions. There it is on the website for you. So it's something you can look into as well.
There's also you can go there to find out more about the events Madison and I were talking about and to get involved with things over there. There's a bunch of great links, bunch of great things for you. Be sure to check that out, swchs.com. Madison, did you hear about this police wrangling a runaway rabbit at a British Columbia train station?
No, I did not.
Okay, I'm just telling you the headline. You got to look into this. Okay. There's video of it. The little guy is, look at that little rabbit. I mean, that little guy somehow bopping around in that train station. I'm not sure. He maybe just wanted to travel.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I know up in Dane County, there was a wild tegu that gave the police department a chase recently within the week, last week or two. So, and I'm sitting there laughing because it's an exotic lizard. And I'm like, okay, that's a fun time.
Again, the importance of humane society. So when those kind of things can happen, being able to call somebody like Madison and everything comes real handy. Real handy. Join us for Rockin' the Shelter tomorrow at the Southwood County Park Red Sand Beach from 10 to 3. This is a wonderful event, not only to fundraiser and supply drive to help out our Southwood County Humane Society, but a chance for you and your family to have a good time.
We're excited for it.
This was fun, Madison. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Again, you can find out more by going to their website, swchs.com. Be sure to reach out to our Humane Society with any needs that you might have or anything you would like to do in this community. We'll come back with more Midday Magazine right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Tri-City Services Heating and AC wants to warm the hearts of the Wisconsin Rapids area by giving a furnace to a deserving person or family in need, someone who needs a helping hand and is trying to work their way back to the top. Do you know of anyone like that? Maybe it's you. Apply yourself or nominate online at calltricity.com before October 16th. The committee will select someone to have a furnace installed at no charge. That's right, no charge. Please help us warm the hearts of the Wisconsin Rapids area. Apply or nominate online at calltricity.com.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. A group dedicated to helping people suffering from homelessness has received a cease and desist letter from the Legal Counsel of Portage County to stop allowing homeless people to shower. One Big Tent of Portage County is a partnership of diverse, faith-based organizations working to promote human dignity by alleviating poverty and isolation in Portage County. They hold their open hours at the Idea Center in Stevens Point, which is a county-owned building and collaborative space. One Big Tent was given permission by Create Portage County to use the showers in the Idea Center building. According to a letter from One Big Tent, Portage County Executive John Pavelski did not first seek to have a conversation with the group to address the county's concerns before issuing the cease and desist letter. One Big Tent would like to work with the county to continue to provide basic needs to help strengthen the entire county. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 47 tonight, under clear skies, east winds, around 5 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm, tomorrow, high of 78. Chance for scattered rain showers, tomorrow night, lows around 56, overcast skies. Temperatures below average, Sunday and Monday, with highs in the upper 60s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 66.
Shriners Hospitals for Children has been creating wonderful opportunities for children in need. This life-changing medical care helps them do the things they've always dreamed of. Go to loveshriners.org.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for the September 8th, 2023. I have your host, James J. behind the mic, and I am joined right now by one of our favorite people, Connie Tomsky-Fayville, FRM president and host of FRM Fest, one of our great people that would talk about that. And Connie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back again.
You brought in a great friend, a new friend of ours that we have now.
Indeed. I would like to introduce Maggie Aliota. Maggie is one of the most talented blues singers we have in central Wisconsin, if not beyond that. And I invited Maggie this morning so we can talk a little bit about not only the festival, touch on that, but about her story and how it intersects with FRM and how it intersects with the whole Rapids music scene, and talk a little bit about her background and just her story.
few areas have a love of music like this area. I've lived in a handful of places in this. I grew up in Chicago, one of the homes of music. I certainly understand what it takes for a community to support the music industry. This area, especially central, if you expand to central Wisconsin, but even in Rapids here, there are few communities to support the arts like they do here, especially musicians. Not only the musicians that they support, but the musicians they create around here and that come from this area. And you saw something early on in this where that there was a need. There was something missing when it came to that. There was a divide. And FRM, it came from that.
Yeah, well, and not to spend too much time on it, but, you know, I was part of the music scene. Actually, it's been 24 years.
Yeah.
And for the first 10 years, I was driving here from out of town once a week for an hour, one way.
I don't think I knew
to
that.
Rehearse. Yeah. Yep, to rehearse with Roger and the Ramjets at the time, and then soon after the Atomics. But I felt immediately comfortable here. I knew these were my people. I could feel welcomed. I was accepted. I was valued for being myself. Mm-hmm. I'd never felt that anywhere before. And the music was everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with music and performing when I was young and into my early teens, and then I left home. But I found home again here. Mm-hmm. The people and the scene were just what I needed, especially at that point in my life. And as I finally moved here in 2009, I was still heavily involved in the scene, but I noticed that wouldn't it be great if we could connect all these musicians and have a place where we could post our gigs and then people could find out where we're playing and just kind of connect everybody together somehow. I didn't really know how I was going to do it. But, you know, in walks Facebook, and, you know, I started a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, there were all these musicians who posted their gigs, and music venues got in on it so that they could, you know, promote their events and stuff. And we do have over 4,000 people now who are, quote, members of Facebook, you know, on our Facebook group. Not all of them are active all the time, but hundreds of them are active all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I found Rapids. I love Rapids. I love this scene. I hope it continues forever.
Mm. When it comes to the importance of FRM and these fests, it's certainly a great opportunity to support local musicians, to support the local arts, and to bring attention to FRM and to this this great event and all these musicians. But there's also other stories and other reasons for FRM, and it's part of the reason why Maggie's joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And before we get to know Maggie a little bit, I just want to touch on some of the things that FRM does during the year. The festival helps us get proceeds, and then we make donations to different music-related causes. So I'll just run through the ones that we've done over the last 7 years. And this is in no particular order, but we've been very supportive and helpful in promoting the Rise to Music competition out of Hoosel's at the Lake in Rome. We have contributed to the outdoor stage that was built at the Central Wisconsin Center, Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, CWCC. We've been very involved here at WFHR in promoting musicians, whether it was on the FRM Friday's show, Director's Cut. We've been involved in that as well. We have contributed to the auditorium renovations at McMillan. We have contributed to free music lessons for children and adults. We have been building for the last 7 years now a college scholarship fund. And that's going very well. I'm really proud of that. And then, of course, we promote the live music events and our musicians through our Facebook page. And then one of the things that I think people may not know a lot about is when a musician is in need, or you could even say a fallen musician, or something tragic has happened, or there is some way that we can help that musician or that music teacher or that music venue owner or someone who is in the music scene and trying to help live music, we do something, right? Even if it's as simple as sending flowers, you know, at a funeral service or providing funding somehow, that's why we're here. Yeah. And so those are the things that we're involved in during the year.
Before we get Maggie going and talking, because I know you can talk, Maggie. I'm just kidding. I'm looking forward to it. I do want to add on to some of what you mentioned there. First off, Connie undersold her impact on this station and the impact that she's had with us, and me in particular.
Oh, thank you, James.
You are our fifth Beatle. You are a person that has been so integral in not only scheduling and making some of this, but some of the connections we've been able to make don't happen without you. And a certainly for me personally, like Director's Cut's my baby. It's one of those things that I love so much. I don't think that show gets off the ground without your assistance in scheduling people and everything.
Thanks for that. And thanks for all you do to promote every artistic thing that's going on in this community.
When it comes to the attention that we bring to these, I think awareness or attention, they're terms that we're familiar with, and we kind of just, in and out the ear. But there's a lot to that, especially if you're an artist. And especially if you're an artist just kind of getting going, the attention that is brought from FRM, you don't have that in communities.
Right.
I mean, please, you know, raise your hand if you are in a community that has something like FRM. I don't know any that have anything like this.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit rare, unfortunately.
Right.
I also wanted to bring up the attention to a fallen musician, and in particular, a friend of ours, and Jeff Goss. Mm-hmm. Certainly the episode we were able to do on Director's Cut, but I'm thinking more so of the tribute to him that you and the FRM and his friends were able to pull off. Mm-hmm. Like, there's greatness, and then there's above and beyond. Yeah. And you, like, that is your wheelhouse. Above and beyond, that's your wheelhouse. You guys really do that.
Well, thanks so much. I think Maggie has a wonderful story to share. And I'd like, if she would, to tell her story about what brought her to Rapids, how she found the music community, and then to go back further too, it's real interesting about her upbringing, and I think she should just take the floor.
She's talking about my daddy.
Maggie, the floor is yours.
Okay.
Let's get to know you a little bit. Thank you again for being here.
Yes, thanks.
Thank
Maggie.
You. My name is Maggie Aliota, and my father, out of Chicago, I don't know if you've ever remembered the band Aliota, Haynes, and Jeremiah.
Yeah, my parents. Know that band, actually.
Lakeshore Drive.
Oh my God, I just got goosebumps from that.
Well, my dad is Mitch Aliota.
Huh?
So music's in the blood.
Yeah,
I mean, duh.
Course. Yeah,
right?
Oh, God.
Right. Who knew?
Right? I am not known for my brains. So, to be fair, that is wild. Wow.
Yeah. And I moved up here, I want to say it was like 98 or something like that. And I lived in Pittsville, you know. So, I mean, I've played all over the place. I've played with different bands. I always tell people, I'm not famous, but I know a lot of people. And I get picked on a lot by a lot of different people because they'll go to some place in Michigan or something and play in a gig. And I had a friend one time text me and he goes, "You got to be kidding me. These people know you." You know. But I'm a networker. Mm. And I think that's why, you know, me and Connie have... you know, talked about, you know, just the importance of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is. Get business cards. I always tell people, you know, show them who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Facebook, oh my goodness. You know, reconnecting with people on Facebook has been amazing.
Yeah.
And, but I moved up here, lived in Pittsville for quite some time, 20-some years. And I had to kind of back out of the music industry for a while because when I had my first child... in 2002, he was preemie, special needs kind of situation. So I basically took off 12 years of life to make sure that my kids were okay and I was doing the right thing, blah, blah, blah. And I finally kind of just sat back after, I think it was 2014. I just kind of looked at everything and said, everything's okay. I can get back, kind of thing. You know, so I basically hit the ground running, and I looked for, you know, every venue, every
jam
session I could find, you know, because I wanted to, you know, just kind of reinsert myself, maybe get a band together, just see what was going on out there. You know, and there was a few times I'd go to a jam, but that would be like, oh, we'll get you up, little lady. You know, like I got a squeegee in my hand or something, you know, like I'm the kitchen help, you know. And then so I get up on stage and, of course, I blow the doors off. And then they're, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, did you want to do another? No, no, like, you think so?
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, and I mean, I'm not trying to be arrogant about it. I just know what my abilities are. And I know that I can project, you know, so I have to kind of watch my tone. But so I lived in Pittsville for, like I said, well, since last year. Me and my son, because my son is now 21 and he lives with me. But I had, we had a house fire last year, and me and my son had come home, and we live out in the country, and, you know, it was one of those slow burn kind of things, and we didn't see it, but my son went into the house, and, or tried to, came running out, mama, mama, you know, the smoke coming out of the kitchen. We lost three dogs and a cat, and pretty much everything, you know, so, you know, you're standing there with the clothes on your back, and you know, thank God nobody was home. I mean, yes, we lost our animals, which was basically destroyed us, you know, too. I could care less about the stuff, but you know, I just had to figure things out. I mean, I'm not young. I'm 55 right now. I'm a speed limit. And so, you know, I had to just figure life out again. It's like starting over at, you know, that age. It's just very strange. You know, but like 2 or 3 weeks after my house fire, our band was playing the FRM Fest. And I was a mess. And I wasn't sure how I was going to pull through, but everybody was just kind of like, we're here. We don't care if you can only do one song. We don't care if you can, you know, just we'll figure it out. And Connie had approached me with a gift, and I looked at it, and I was like, I'm not opening that now. I haven't even gone up yet. Because I knew it was something nice and thoughtful. And I was in no position.
You're already in an emotional
I was
state.
Already a blobbing mess. You know what I mean? A puddle on the floor. You know, there's no way.
Well, and rightly so.
Oh, thank God, yes, that I waited. But they helped to, you know, give me support monetarily so that I mean, I had nothing. No clothes, no shoes. You know, it was me and my son. The insurance company is supposed to help you out. Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? But anyway, it just took them a while. Let's put it that way.
But
you know, but so the fact that the FRMs, you know, stepped forward to help me out, you know, because, I mean, we had all worked together and played together and just blah, blah, blah with what the music community is. And like I was telling Connie before, you know, I've been around. I don't mean to brag, but we... That's supposed to be funny.
It was funny. Like, okay, it was funny. I just didn't want to interrupt
Well, I didn't want people thinking this. So, okay. Anyway, so... but, you know, it
when
is...
When you found...
You know, it's when you find people and you go around and you see all the different, the cities and the towns, you know, because I'm originally from Chicago myself. So we know, you know, the places to go that are more welcoming than others.
Yeah.
Because you can go to a place.
It's a nice way to put that.
It is. It's just some places you go to aren't as welcoming. And I have found that, you know, throughout my lifetime of going to jams and going, like I said, I get the good old boy, you know, or, you know, there's just different places that you have to be a certain status. Well, that's not what it is here at all. If you have a passion, we want to praise it.
Absolutely. I love that phrase. That's great.
And they have, you know, because like I said, I've gone to other communities. And this one just absolutely open arms embraces you when you come in. And they've embraced me. And, you know, like I said, when they presented me with, you know, help, And I mean, and it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, right. That's one of right. the things that, you know, I have to stress to people. There's just times when you just have to just zip it and say thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm still learning that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have, like I said, my son lives with me. And the funny thing about that, too, is, and again, about community, because it's a music family. It mm-hmm. isn't just a community. It's a family mm-hmm. community kind of thing. And, you know, my son being special needs, I say that he's autistic-ish. He's OCD-ish. Mm-hmm. You know, he has FG syndrome, but that's mm-hmm. a plethora of things that mm-hmm. get attached to that. Mm-hmm. But ever since I had been going to that jam and then helped to host it for like 4.5 years. Mm-hmm. So we were there every Monday for, you know, that amount of time. And there were times that I had to take the kids with. And I, you know, my daughter, who sings like an angel, blows me off the stage. Not kidding. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every February 23rd, mm-hmm. I bring Kai in and get him up there, and we would all sing happy birthday. The entire bar would sing happy birthday to him.
It's awesome. Yep.
It is. You know, how they've embraced him. They understand, don't worry, you know, because I'm, you know, trying to figure out what I'm going to do with him when I have to go up. And I'm on stage scanning the entire place. Where did he go this time? Yeah. You know. Yeah. But everybody's come together in that way as well to go, like, don't worry, we got him. Yeah. I'll let him sit with us. You know, before when his sister would come, she'd kind of watch him. But now, you know, she's an adult too and can't exactly ask that anymore.
First, thanks, Maggie. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing that. I really do appreciate it. I think that the essence of talking about this story is that gift.
Right. Yes.
You know, and focusing on that. But I'm sure it's not lost on you two, and I don't want it to be on our listeners.
No.
There was a lot of gifts in that conversation.
Oh, gotcha.
It sounds like it had to have been, and being in a very similar situation myself, dealing with a family fire, losing so much, needing a sanctuary, that stage, just having that stage to go to is sometimes such a break in a...
It's a reboot.
It really is. It's mm-hmm. it is a sanctuary that stage at that. For I mean, having FRM Fest, having that to go to afterwards, it may seem like for some, I think, out there, and even for yourself maybe in the moment, my God, I got to go out there and perform. I got all this on my head, my heart. I don't feel it. But once you get out there...
It's the release.
It is such the release. And having that as a gift, let alone whatever that was that Connie handed to you, that is obviously very helpful and such. And and then touching on the bar situation with your son. And I'm so happy to hear that about him and how his story is going.
Yeah.
To have people that are around and, mm-hmm. and keep an eye on the guy and stuff.
Embrace him like he is their own. Yeah. It's so fantastic.
That's the music community.
It is. That's why I say it's a family, because only family will step up and do that. They know I'm going on stage. They know Kai's there. And, you know, I know there's sometimes people will be like, I'm sure you bring your kids, you know, with you to a bar. And it's like, these are blues people.
Yeah,
there's no mosh pits going on, okay?
Yeah, come on.
You know, pass the pizza.
It is safer than a mosh pit situation.
And it is. And get some culture. You get some blues in these kids, all right?
That's good. He loves seeing mommy on stage.
Oh, I can't imagine what
it feels
like.
And all of his musician buddies, you know, when, because Jack... You know, Connie's husband also. He does. Well, he's worked on my house, you know, like now that I bought a house, I've got things that I need done. You know, it's like Kai already knows him. Hi, Jack. You know what I mean? Cool. Again, it's a complete community family thing.
Yep.
And you can't top that.
Right. No.
I really appreciate Maggie's background. Can you talk more about that with your dad being in the industry?
Oh, yeah.
And how that affected you. And then also, if we could touch a little bit on how professional musicians sometimes have to live because of their passion, you know, and what all is involved.
Yeah, there's, I hate to say it, but my dad was one of them. You know, they invested so much time and their soul and body and everything else to the music that they sometimes lacked in other areas, you know. Mm-hmm. So they kind of lived a little lesser, if you will. You know, but there's so many literally famous people that I have either been on stage with or know. And I have gone to their house and there are cockroaches. They're living in a... you know, a one bedroom apartment, kind of, you know,
living in squalor,
living in squalor, literally. Passion, and people have no idea. And the fact that the FRM can help out, you know, with people that are whatever the issue is, you know, that just, that's amazing to me. But I didn't actually meet my dad until I was like 20. And again, about networking, musicians are a network of people. It doesn't matter where you're from. You know, again, my friend's picking on me that I know everybody from everywhere. It's kind of fun, you know? And, but like, you know, when I went to find him, I was telling Connie, I said, when I went to find him, I, you know, there was a friend of mine who did a, hosted a jam at Blues Etc. in Chicago. And I was just telling him, I'm right, you know, because everybody knew who my dad was, kind of thing. Because I could back it up, you know? It wasn't like I was just running around with the last name, you know? And, you know, but that's part of who I am. I did have to back myself up. I did have to prove myself. And that's fine. I'll blow the doors off for you. I don't mind. You know, buy new ones. But it took like a year, but we finally found him. And he had been living in Vegas for 30 some years, you know, and with another uncle of mine. And then there's another uncle of mine who still lives in Chicago that I've played with a lot and done the, you know, Cornerstones of Rock show at the Arcata, you know, for the last few years. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing how, you know, you just, you go from, there's, I could write a book, but there's just so many people you meet throughout and along the way that have either helped you out or I say pass the buck. We're supposed to be teaching and helping out these young musicians. And I look at like Alex Quinnell, you know, Adam Pryor. Those two came such young kids. And it's, I look at it as our job as musicians to feed that passion and encourage and love and embrace and, you know, because, I mean, I've even taken them with me a few times to Chicago, different places, meet different musicians that, you know.
Again, and make those connections.
Yes. I mean, it's all about it.
And having an FRM is a hub, is a home for all those connections, for the all that to come together into one place.
That's why we're fortunate.
And let alone, it's in our own network. It's in our, I mean, our own neighborhood. It's in our zip code we have this. That we are very spoiled, very fortunate for that.
Well, and FRM is, it's just an act of love.
It is.
Oh, well said.
It's just something that we want to try and continue to do for the community. You know, it is a really special community, but beyond that, there's just a heck of a lot of talent here. And talking about the young kids coming up and stuff, you know, even at the age of, I remember Alex at the age of like 8 or 9. And, you know, that's where it starts. And if it is, if it's ignored at that point, or if it's shamed or whatever, then it dies. And you'll never see that that talent blossom. And so talking about these young kids, that's a big part of FRM, you know, the free music lessons and all of that. We just want to make sure that they're getting their chance early on to make the connections early on, and then it can actually carve out a place in their life, hopefully, eventually.
You and I have gotten to talk a lot over the years. This is one of the best conversations we've had. That's saying something. This was a lot of fun and very insightful. Appreciate the time, Maggie. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're going to have to come back, though. You're going to have to come back.
Please, we're
going to have to get you back on
Maggie
the radio.
You know I can't shut up.
Looking forward to it. You're in the right place for that. And as always, love talking with you, Connie. Appreciate
you. Same here, James. Thanks again.
Find out more at FRMgroup.org, FRMgroup.org. And we will see you tomorrow at Robinson Park from 1 to 9 for FRM Fest 7. It's going to be amazing. Things kick off at 1 with nothing but great bands. Be sure to meet us down there for this free, amazing fest. Going to have stuff for the kids and all for everybody. Yep. It's for the whole family. Come on down. Meet you at Robinson Park tomorrow from 1 to 9 for FRM Fest 7. We will have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. It is a punishing heat persisting in parts of Texas. Erin Moran is a meteorologist at CBS Dallas.
High temperatures could be as warm as 109 degrees. One model suggesting that the actual temperature could be 110 in those locations. The feels-like temperatures will be even warmer.
In Greece, bulldozers are literally carrying people out of their flooded homes and villages after record flooding. Helicopters and lifeboats are also trying to reach hundreds of stranded villagers in central Greece as the death toll due to the flooding has risen to 10. The Chinese territory of Hong Kong is dealing with record flooding of its own. CBS's Vicky Barker is monitoring the situation.
Some parts of the territory got more rain in 6 hours than the entire city normally gets in a whole month. Some roads are washed out. At least one commuter line is out. One video clip showed metro workers waiting waist deep in a station.
The record rain and flooding have killed two people and injured more than 140. This just breaking, the Supreme Court is being asked to reverse an appeals court ruling that would cut off mail order access to the drug mifepristone. It is the most commonly used drug to induce abortions in the United States. Danko Laboratories, which makes the drug, argued federal judges should not second guess the Food and Drug Administration, which approved mifepristone several years ago. Former Philadelphia police officer Mark